Welcome everybody to Transforming Joy and Sadness, which I recognize I sent out the wrong email title. I got a little ahead of myself and I clicked on the wrong title. So today is about transforming joy and sadness. And it's the type of joy that is not the healthy, calm, still joy, but it's potentially like overexcitement or nostalgia or any type of joy that might carry a tinge of fear to it, whatever the word may be. So as we settle in for this work for today, I'm going to invite you to find yourself in a nice, comfy, cozy place where you can sit or lay and be undisturbed for our time together. And feel free, if you already did that, to make any little micro adjustments that you might need. I'll do the same on this end. And as I get settled and you get settled, perhaps beginning here by means of breathing. Every inhale, an opportunity to call in, to receive, to drink in life. And every exhale, an opportunity to release, to let go. To make space. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And if any part of that feels good, taking a moment to savor it, to really receive it. And to drink it in for the nourishment that it very well may be. And then I invite you to take a moment to scan your external or internal, picking one, environment. Looking for anything in particular, again, that's pleasant, to the very least neutral. And as you take a moment to locate that and land on it, noticing what it is you like the most about this. And taking time to really drink that in and savor this. And as you do all of that, noticing again, what is the impact? What seems to happen when you're present to the pleasant things happening in your world, inner or outer? And as you take the opportunity to notice that, if any part of that is pleasant and neutral, drinking this in as well. Thank you so much for being here. And thank you for you. Thank you to all that's brought you here, to your villages that have made potentially the support that's required in your day to be here. Thank you to your families. your ancestors, your lineages, to all of those that have come before you, and all of those that will come after you. Thank you for all of you. Such a blessing to be here with you all. It's such a joy that we get to gather in connection and community in these ways. Om Shanti, 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 peace, peace, peace. And actually, just before I drop into session mode, a reminder that next week we don't gather together in on Zoom, but potentially through the ethers, we can connect with each other, as you may take time to potentially go back to one of the previous recordings. I'm out of town that week, and I'll be traveling to work with someone that I mentor with out of Calgary. So I'll be there on the road. And as we gather again in 2 weeks' time, that will be the integration week. Today is, again, working with the Transforming Joy and Sadness. And as we start off with for today, we're heading right into the heart, literally the heart of the matter. And as we work with the heart, we're looking with the deeper sort of core woundings that happened. We're actually going very quickly, all the way back to the beginning of when this heart formed, which is roughly around day 15 in the womb in utero. And there's a sense of feeling like rushed or hurried in a way that let things be maybe just a bit tighter or compact. Tendencies for potentially things like anxiety or heart challenges, potentially in the family lines. Or it might not be so much physical, but it might be working with the pain of the mental, the emotional, which is what the heart represents on multiple levels, including connections to our loved ones, our family, our romantic partners, our friends, and all those that we care about deeply in this world. And for all of this tenderness that seems to be here on all levels, and I didn't speak to the spiritual one, but that may be related to things like disconnection, abandonment, or even feeling betrayed by that which is eternal, whatever your word for that may be. God, universe, spirit, creator, Buddha, Allah, you get the idea. And as we work with all of that tenderness, bringing in circulation of all the basic healing resources, including blood that carries our passion, nerve our communication, lymph that drains those toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing. And also working with the chi or vitality, consciousness or awareness, right down into all the little guys, the electrons, the protons, the solitons, the neutrons. Also working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor. Endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids that lower that inflammation, anxiety, depression, help our bodies to heal. And then balancing yin and yang, feminine and masculine. And running hydration, and this is particularly those last two parts, the yin and yang and the hydration, are very important for the heart, as the heart actually balances all things yin and yang at the heart chakra level. Hydration, helping the cells here to take in that joy that the heart naturally is meant to receive, provide alike. And as it works with the hydration, taking in of joy, also taking in of water, and again, releasing any impurities that just don't need to be here. And on that note, I see multiple layers of like toxicity leaving the heart right from the very center. I see this smoke, and it's like really, really dark, heavy smoke, carrying out with it really old grief. And then underlying that, there's this sort of like yellow pussy looking stuff that looks like anxiety. And underlying that is something green, like green pussy. Green pussy, pardon me. And the green pus seems to be related to anger. We're doing it all. Now, it's not like pus, but there's this other yellow, and it looks, well, a little like urine. And it's actually releasing worry. Okay, and then there's underlying all of that, there's flames coming out of the heart. And this is that of sadness. Okay, and as I make my way basically through all five elements in varying different ways, we actually need to do a five element balancing here and basically restoring the heart in that time and space of being in utero back to its fullest potential of health. As we're going to run a cellular repair on the five element balancing that was present at that point in time. And any other imbalances that were perhaps taken on in that moment from mom or dad, imagine that we can just simply hand those back to where they came from. These are not yours to have to carry for a lifetime. And it's not honorable or your job to carry that as a badge of honor, to carry pain or pride for doing so in a way that may have been associated with this thought pattern. I'm here to save you. I'm here to save you. And as we release the little bits of savior complex that are tied in here from a very young age, I see the entire heart, brain, and all the nerves that would eventually evolve through here begin to just settle. And as it does so, releasing the need to quote unquote disassociate or leave our bodies, or the other way that can go is be like overly contained in just one area of us, which is a form of disassociation, we could argue, not being fully present to all of us. And underlying that, the behavior of wanting to micromanage things to minimize pain, which is a really natural reaction. Okay, and with that, doing an emotional release here of over-enthusiasm, over-excitement in the vein of like, I'm here to help you. And the idea of that, you know this pattern, we know better, we know best. And any of those other related beliefs that go into this need to save the other, including this idea of as long as I meet your needs first, then you'll be able to be calm, well enough, stable enough to in turn meet my own needs. The tale is old as time. And as we work with this, we're actually going to run a seedry on it for the next 6 days, right through the actually the entirety of the heart, but we're doing it particularly in all the cells of the heart at the level of the mitochondria. And the mitochondria, often referred to as like the powerhouse of the cell, producing all the energy, they're also sensors. They're also scanning the environment to be able to calibrate what the, excuse me, in particular, the cells might need. Oh my gosh, apparently this is for me. And as I'm burping it all up, as the pattern of the mitochondria here gets highlighted as being a sensor of information. It's like it got trapped in time, as if it's stuck back in utero and it's present to those circumstances. So it's actually been, booting up all of that old stuff, heartbeat after heartbeat after heartbeat, which may be why it's been at times challenging to potentially unwind some layers to some of those patterns that I've highlighted. And as we begin to sort of like unglue or unstick this, the image that I see is now I haven't put a lot of kids into car seats, but The image I have is of, like, you know, when you have those car seats and the arms go through the cross straps there, and it kind of like buckles in the middle, and there's something that comes up from the legs and clicks into that too. It's mostly like the thing that goes around either arm, and it's clicking in front of this heart. And I just hear it go like, "I'll keep you safe." And as we work with all of this, that C tree that I haven't finished talking about, I think I just mentioned the C, works, carries on with the defrag, much like that computer defrag, excuse me, much like that computer defrag or spring clean, taking out the clutter that doesn't need to be here, and what remains can be readily reorganized and utilized for healing. And as I run that defrag, I actually see that seat belt just start to dissolve. Reevaluation, recontextualization, reprioritization, getting out of rock and hard place type of thinking, and opening up to possibilities where it may have seemed like there was none before. And then integration, introspection, shift the underlying consciousness. Perhaps thinking of this as the release, the surrender, the letting go. As we work with this, bringing in the planetary energy of Mars for its role to give the drive for something new to happen. And as it gives that sort of momentum in a healthy way through to the system, I see the entire heart just begin to calm down. Like, there it has what it needs to actually get out of this way that it's been sort of trapped in or limited by. I just see the heart take a really full, deep breath. There's still a slight shadow on the base of the left side, a little bit more towards the back than the front. And it's got this deep, deep wounding around, but I've been hurt before. I don't want to come out of my shell again. What if I get hurt again? And for it, I'm just going to offer it some support. So if you can imagine me like reaching all the way through to, with my hands, physically supporting this area in utero, in time, and in space. You can even imagine yourself doing the same if that feels supportive. And letting it know, I've got you. And as we link in the sense of touch through here, along with the energy of, I've got you, we're going to simultaneously run in the permissions of, I will be kind with you here. I will be kind with you. And I see that black shadow turn to gold. It reminds me of that expression that Jung coined, I believe, the gold in the shadow, or finding the gem of awareness in and amongst all the potential pain, suffering. And then that gold actually becomes a little bit lighter and brighter. And then the need for retraction or withdrawal or isolation, numbing out. Pick your word. Disassociate could also be used here. Begins to fade gently away as this heart now becomes a little bit more open, at least to the very point of neutral, potentially even more open than that. And then we're linking it through to the heart chakra itself. Okay, and if you can imagine this little piece of protection energy that was there at the base of the heart, having such a powerful impact that it actually realigns the shoulders as well as the thoracic inlet diaphragm just through chronic holding patterns of protection. We're going to support both the shoulders. Am I doing emotional releases of sadness? Almost as if it was like the overflow area. And all the extra sadness that the heart couldn't deal with got sent up and out to the shoulders. And it was directed by that little part that liked to micromanage. So that was its role, and as we release it from the shoulders, it actually gets to be free from its role. So it doesn't need to micromanage in those same ways anymore. And it might actually even transform its role to something else, or it might even decide to just take some R&R, have a little vacation, hit the beach for a while, as these things like to do. Okay. And as the sadness from both shoulders begins to unwind, I see the energy of both parents, whether you knew them or not, whether you were adopted or anything in between. It's got the patterning of the people that you were raised by, that you would consider to be your mother figure and your father figures, as well as the biological sources of this. So we're working with all things maternal and all things paternal simultaneously on both shoulders. Okay, and this is actually the times in which your parents suffered tremendous loss, tremendous times of challenge that resulted in a whole lot of, you guessed it, sadness. And with it, this idea of this is really heavy and I have no choice, but I have to keep going. And not actually being able to stop and slow down and process it well enough, but instead it getting transferred down through the family lines or potentially even getting taken out in you in all sorts of ways. And as this begins to unwind through the shoulders, it's also releasing through the thoracic inlet diaphragm. And this has its own little seatbelt that's clipped in there. And it's right where the SCM, the sternocleidomastoid muscles, begin to hook into the sternum region, the very top region of the sternum and that manubrium in that region. And from here, we're actually unhooking what may have been feeling potentially like mind games from mom's sadness and dad's sadness alike that were unprocessed. And it feeling extra chaotic, or maybe even to the point where life just seemed like unstable or unpredictable, or I hesitate to use that most overused phrase of the last few years, but uncertainty. And if we could sum that all up with the belief system, and it's here in varying degrees. Some of you may be on the lower end, some of you might be on the higher end. It's the belief system of I don't know. And at the extreme end, it's actually forming like a brick wall, a barrier to knowing, to insight, to having that sense of connection to inner guidance. Be as strong as it could be. Or maybe there is a connection to inner guidance, but it seems fuzzy. Or kind of off, or it's there one moment, and then when you go to reach for it again, it's somehow evaporated and gone. Something along those lines. And as we work with it here, again, it's going into in utero, and I just see in the very early days, in that first month or so, this idea of not knowing which way was up or down, and feeling like how you landed, how you implanted onto the uterine lining wasn't quite how you wanted to be oriented. So you actually just need to realign you, and we're using the energetic guidance of the celestial formation, in particular that of the Milky Way, the Milky Way. Okay. Very cool. And as we realign the structure in relationship to the Milky Way, I almost imagine like the Milky Way is like a blueprint for this region to give it a sense of which way is up, down, to orient it. And as it begins to get a sense of not so disoriented, discombobulated, lost, feeling a little bit maybe even like flaky or not sure how to focus, could be how that shows up. It begins to give a sense of clarity. A sense of, I know where this is, I know where I am, and I know how to get to where it is I'm headed or going. As Charlie creeps in a little bit closer. Okay. I just, I'm taking a moment as I tune into all of that. I'm attempting to actually Google if the North Star is a part of the Milky Way, because I'm not actually entirely sure. My cosmos knowledge is a little bit dicey that way. Just want to check that out real fast. North Star, part of the Milky Way. And I may not be able to figure it out right away. And if I can't figure it out really quickly, I'll let it go. Yeah, it's not popping up with real clarity. That's okay. Despite all the work that we just did on clarity. And as we work with this, we are actually bringing in the planetary energy of the North Star. Oh, it is. Yeah. Okay, good. Thank you. Someone verified it in the chat that I was on the money there with that all. Thank you. And as we work with it, working with the varying constellations, including that of, in particular of the North Star. Always inconvenient when you have a menopause moment in the middle of a session. Thank you for your grace and your patience with that. And as we work with the North Star alignment, it's coming into, in particular, not just this region, but all the way through to the midline of the body, helping to, in particular, center the being. And as the North Star centers, you can think of the Milky Way as being like the containment or giving the directionality for the little development of this in-utero being to be able to shift just as easily as the stars in the sky rotate throughout our year, throughout our astrological lunar year in particular, going back to how our year was originally mapped out. Now we follow more of a solar calendar, but it used to be a lunar calendar that we followed. Just bringing in the archetype of that all. Interesting. And that in turn is linking into the entire yin, wei, mo, meridian. And we're reorienting all things involving the heart, including the shen of the heart, the circulation the heart does, and the very deep yin nature of the heart. Aligning it with this energy of centering and being contained in a way that actually takes the pressure off of the yin wei mo for having to struggle to keep the heart in that particular health, in that particular alignment. Like, it gets to relax a little bit. And as soon as I say that, that little seatbelt that I notice around that thoracic inlet diaphragm just above the heart begins to unclip. Like, maybe we don't have to struggle so hard to keep ourselves on the straight and narrow. We can be centered, contained, and we get to take the pressure off. And then I'm heading right back to in the womb when I see this little being just like, again, receive some relief, the pressure's off. And they got a doggy sound on that one, which is always a good sign. Okay, love. So at the same time as all of that, we're linking the mouth in a reciprocal nature through to the anus, which is not one of our classic 17 reciprocals in body talk. In utero development, the anus opens up first, and then we get the mouth opening second. And as we work with connecting mouth and anus in this way, and it's the beginning, really, of the formation of the particular canal that forms our entire digestive system. I see this as helping to balance some of the digestive stuff that we had been working with over the last couple of weeks. As well as we're running with the permissions that it's safe to rise. It's safe to rise. And that in particular is referencing spleen qi, which, if it sinks downward, has a tendency to keep things really heavy, potentially create prolapses within the system. And then we're linking all of that into the energy of the sixth house, right where we began. As we offer the spleen qi, the sixth house, practicality, being in service to our bodies and our minds, our intellect, awareness, discernment alike, here with that small intestine and the planetary energy of Mercury, begin to create some changes here, it seems. I'm just gonna keep my eye on a couple things as there's a bunch of things seemingly changing here. Okay, and as that begins to do what it's doing, sort itself out, we're going to bring in circulation, in particular of lymph. As the spleen qi becomes a little healthier, the lymph is actually more readily able to move and groove as the spleen governs the health of the lymph. And we're actually bringing in lymphatic circulation to all things sixth house, to help it to flush out, and in a way, giving it a little mini detox here. Then I just hear that song. I can see clearly now. Oh, I can't sing it at all right now. I can see clearly now. The rain is gone. I won't even attempt the pitch at the moment. Not my strong suit. And as we work with that, we're linking it into the energy of the sun, the planetary energy of the sun, bringing in the fullest expression of your life force possible to its fullest potential. And then we're also linking that to the very land, this earth, and the earth elements to supportively receive it in a way that, as the earth element does, creates change, which invites in more peace. And as there's the sun, the earth present in those ways, we're linking that right on into, again, the development of the heart in utero. I see it as actually giving another layer of healthy containment, being held by the heavens above and the planetary energy of the earth below. And it reminds me of that expression in Chinese medicine, I think is where I first heard it, as above, so below. As above, so below. Okay. And then I'm actually seeing that also play out as above on the other side of the womb, so below as when you were in the womb. And then the connection between those two being the navel. We're actually linking this all right into the navel now. And as we link it into the navel, bringing the navel into connection with the Yin Wei Mo meridian to invite in deeper clarity and compassion for all that life has to offer us. This gift that we as humans get to have as we walk in the middle between the heavens above and the earth below, we walk in the middle space. And that in turn is linking into all things 10th house, achievement, recognition, career, outward self-expression. How does your heart wish to express itself in a way that outwardly supports receiving appreciation and recognition, as well as providing it, as well as supports your career, whatever that career may be? Okay, and then at the same time as all of that, linking the planetary energy of the sun one more time into the heart chakra as well as the solar plexus chakra. As we link it into both chakras simultaneously, linking these two chakras to one another. Then I see the branch, the heart meridian, that actually goes down to the stomach, which is governed by the solar plexus chakra. And it's carrying, oh my gosh, I'm present to like the, almost like GERD, like there's really strong acid here, which is not allowing for a wonderful digestion. And sometimes that actually gets set up when there's trauma in the womb. So if you experience trauma in utero, that can look like a lot of things. I won't go into belaboring those points right now, but otherwise we'll be here for a few hours. But we're working with, as I'm going to generally refer to it as, trauma in the womb space. And again, I'm going to bring in the sense of touch and just offering it the support that it may not have felt before at an earlier time in life, and just giving it what it needs to actually just really get the resources, much like we do resourcing at the beginning, for it to do what it needs to do here. More on that in just a second. That we can give this little branch of the heart meridian that goes down through to the stomach its own little mini body talk session, doing a few things for it. Starting off with unhooking this idea, this belief system. I'm all alone in here. I'm all alone in the world. And even if you had, you know, another being with you in the womb, there was still a sense of like loneliness or isolation, or a sense of like no one can reach me. And now I'm hearing the song by, is it Coolio? Paradise. How can you reach me? That was a loose reference. Gangster's Paradise, that's the name of the song. And there's this, just a sense of having to, because you didn't feel like you were well supported in this particular branch, I mean, of the meridian, wasn't feeling so supported, that it actually had to toughen up. Like it had to develop a way of keeping itself as safe and protected as it could. So it formed like this little shell of toughness, of callousness, of coldness at times, which set the stage for connections in the outer world after you were born to be at times a little bit challenging, almost like it was really distant or far away, potentially as far, seemingly as far away as the cosmos, adrift in the Milky Way out there potentially. And as we work with the sense of having to be tough and essentially carrying the energy of like pushing others away in order to keep this branch healthy, protected, safe, guarding is the energy that I will sum it up with. We're unhooking the belief system. I have to be on guard. Like I always have to be on guard. As we work with this essence of hypervigilance, almost to the point of extreme anxiety. And insecurities, and even inner criticism, inner perfectionism. At the heart of it all is this idea, this belief system of I can't do anything right, like I can't win for losing. I'm my own worst enemy. And at the heart of that, tremendous sadness. depression. And at the very core of that, apathy. Okay. So as we begin to work with this area now, through that sense of touch, it begins to come just a little bit more alive as it gets to have the support that it's wanted but didn't get to have in an earlier point in life. And I see it just begin to actually take a deep breath, a restful breath. And we're bringing in now the consciousness of hope. And with that, actually, there is a little piece of despair there that I haven't named that seems to just gently fall away. And then we're unhooking a bundle of belief systems that, again, this is somehow like protective for you to carry this, that you'll be protecting mom, dad, those dynamics that I mentioned earlier about protecting the parents, the caregivers. And as that begins to drop away, with it, the need to be validated for protecting them, for saving them, also falls away. And then underlying all of that, mom sadness, dad sadness gets released even further. And we're linking it all into house 12 to fully support this deep surrender. Running the permissions of, I don't need to carry these burdens anymore. You could imagine all the energy that you might use to very carefully hold a wounded little one, whether it be a baby, a puppy, a kitty. I have this image of like a wounded little bird holding it with that amount of sensitivity. And in a way, meeting the sensitivity of the hurt, the depth of that hurt that was there, the core of this all. And bringing in lymphatic circulation one more time through this region of that, again, that heart meridian that goes down to the stomach. And as it does so, bringing in and balancing the appropriate level of fire element to be here. It's almost as if there was too much fire. As we bring in the fire element into its awareness, that excess fire gets to integrate and be utilized for the heart meridian where it actually needs to be, in other areas of the heart and what the heart meridian gives rise to, including the shen, the sense of spirit, the sense of I am, period. I am. And then I see that little babe in utero again go, oh yeah, I remember. I know who and what I am. Got it. Okay. With that, all that heart meridian stuff begins to just spontaneously continue to melt away. And I see the entire heart meridian now alive, pulsing, vibrating, almost like it's dancing in a new way. And then we're supportively giving the heart meridian a dance partner. We're giving it the Yin Wei Mo meridian. And as the heart, the Yin Wei Mo begin to come together in this new dance, that helps to celebrate compassion, helps to celebrate clarity, helps to celebrate the capacity to respond to life from a place of clarity and compassion. We're unhooking the consciousness of feeling misunderstood, of feeling misunderstood. Excuse me. And as all of that melts away, bringing in circulation of all those healing resources one more time to all things midline, including the spine, the conception of the governing vessel meridians that run here, and the consciousness of trust that it's meant to carry. We're giving this a few gentle breaths in any way that feels right as we tap this part out. Invitation to breathe and receive. If you can imagine how it is, you might actually support little ones that are developing, like little kiddos, information around what it means to foster connection, to foster relationships with all the tools and resources and knowledge that you have now as an adult. What wisdom, what little pearls of wisdom might you offer this little one that still is kicking around in here, maybe needing a little bit of guidance from the adult you? And if you imagine, potentially if you have kids or had kids that were younger, how you did it then, and if that worked well for what it is you wanted to do, fabulous. And if you want to modify it, fabulous. Noticing also just what spontaneously comes through. What words of nurturing, nourishments may you provide for this little one that might even still have some confusion around connection? Like, how do I do that? How does this work? And then we're linking this all into the consciousness of reciprocity. Being able to also remember that as we work to look outwardly for connection, that we also have to work inwardly equally to receive that connection and to notice if that's not potentially happening in a way that works well for you. And again, bringing in the energy of small intestine, awareness, discernment, intellect, along with all five senses to notice how this feels, looks, etc. But in particular, the sense of touch is the strongest. And as we bring in all of those pieces, also bringing in one more time the energy of Mars for its drive to create something new, an invitation to bring in healthy new relationships, healthy new connections, healthy new ways of connecting with the same old relationships that have been maybe even long-standing. And then we're linking into house number one. Actually, we're going from house 12 all the way through to house number one now, which works with energetic circulation, new beginnings. Works with Mars. It's very much up for a challenge. It's up to the task, as it works with all that Aries energy to bust through any sort of limitations, or it actually doesn't even see it potentially through those eyes. It's just like, oh, that sounds fun and exciting. Yeah, so there's actually some enthusiasm here now. As we bring in the consciousness of enthusiasm, the Greek etymology of that literally translates to being on theos, being with the gods. And that in turn is linking into, for whatever reason now, the region of the vomer bone, which hangs out deep within the nose socket, as well as the just to the left and the right of that, where the large intestine meridian sort of goes in through to the nostrils. And then I talked about this in yesterday's Body Talk study group, which is probably why it's present in my brain a lot. But the connection from Vomer to xiphoid being that of which helps to open up the heart, it helps to relax the ligament in the front of the spine, which I am seeing as working, but this time in particular, most notably through the Vomer. So the xiphoid is particularly open already, but the Vomer is like, keep your head down, keep working, grit your teeth and bear it. And still this extra little layer to that pattern of endure, just endure it. And here we're unhooking the belief system of I have to put up with other people's bad behaviors. I have to go along to get along. And if I want connection, it comes at that cost. And underlying that, there's a strong belief system of connection is abuse. As we begin to unwind that, it's actually linking now into that large intestine meridian through both nostrils. And as it unwinds, it actually opens up the sense of smell to better orient you to who it is a good connection. And we often say that in particular about our romantic partners, that we fall in sync with them. But we're actually using the general principle of that to work with connecting you to that which serves you through to cultivating healthy relationships with not just, you know, the romantic side of life, but every other aspect from friends to work to including the internal relationships within you. Okay, beautiful. And we're going to top this part out here. Invitation to, again, breathe and receive. Beautiful. Then I hear the entire Yin Wei Mo Meridian go like, oh, I feel so understood. I feel so seen. Very cute. Okay. And we actually are going to do a couple things for it, just to give us an extra bit of TLC. Starting off with one more lymphatic circulation all the way through the entirety of that meridian. And as it rolls on through, cleaning out toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing. It's also balancing in particular, the lower limbs, the legs. Okay, we're working with the legs and the arms in general are thought to be our centers for doing, and the torso is thought to be our center for being. So as we work with the legs, we're in particular working with them as a center of like taking action, doing something a little bit more yang, if you will. And as we work with these lower legs, the lower limbs, the legs, working with the permissions of it's safe to move forward. It's safe to move forward into new connections. And it's safe to move forward with trust. Now we're working with a Wei Qi expansion around the entire external body, but particularly the legs. As we expand the Wei Qi here, to work with all of its roles, protection, communication, and synthesis alike, it's linking into house number four, where our personality begins to coalesce in a way that all of our ways of keeping ourselves safe and protected interact with our environment. And as that sort of stage gets set, linking it through to the heart, to have the heart literally guide that in a way that creates a deeper level of harmony, as well as respect, honor, and dignity. As well as, there's one more piece here, I'm just finding the word, balance. Balance between that yin and yang, feminine and masculine, and in general, finding a healthier balance to come from here. And as it does so, releasing the need to, in particular, overextend or overgive or overdo. And with that, I just see the legs go like, ah. We don't have to like strain ourselves so hard to get there, to do, to give, to provide in ways that actually end up just depleting us. We can let go of that need to overextend, which I often associate more so with the arms, but for whatever reason, it's showing up in the legs today. And I just see the legs stretch out in healthy extension. If you can imagine, if you're laying down, feel free to give this a go, where the legs can stretch out all the way through the heels, maybe just going one at a time. And as the legs become gentle pistons, stretching through the heels, I see the psoas muscle, the iliopsoas muscle, begin to unwind through both sides, left and right, releasing protection around the hips and low back alike, allowing the low back to step into its worth, its energy of worthiness. Okay, beautiful. And we're giving that a tap out here. So invitation to breathe and receive. And I see the legs continuing to move piston-like as I tap out. The left side reaching and extending towards clarity, the right side extension reaching out for compassion. And as they reach out for and stand in greater clarity and compassion, they get to move forward with those energies. Moving forward with clarity, moving forward with compassion for you, as well as others. Okay, love. As we bring this all in for a nice soft landing. I've got a song. And if you want, you can even take a moment to land on that resource from where we began, or where your art feels really good, and just hanging out with that. The song is called Look Up Child. The artist is Lauren Daigle, Daigle, and it's from the album Look Up Child.
Where are you now when darkness seems to win? Where are you now when the world is crumbling? Oh, I hear you say, look up, child. look up.
Thank you so much for being here in all of these ways today. And thank you for the deepest parts of my heart for this opportunity to work together. Mwah. All my love as you move forward into this week ahead. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. dancing in the moonlight, yay. Okay, that's beautiful. Yeah, you're most welcome. Oh, I'm glad that you enjoyed the song. It's one of my favorites as well. Got me through some tough moments, so happy to share it. All the way to the Milky Way and back, indeed. And actually, I'll see you guys in 2 weeks' time. So feel free to hang out if there's any other things that I can address for anyone. And sending you guys all my love. Okay. So does Charlie. Bye for now.